This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's hit the guest line right now. Let's talk a little Raptor basketball as we welcome aboard Jack Armstrong, analyst for the Raptors Television Network. Hey, Jack, Taz and the Moose with you. We appreciate the time this morning.
Hey, Jack.
Good morning. How we doing?
We're doing well, Jack. We're doing well. How's that city doing? I mean, we're 24 hours away from game day, game one of the NBA Finals.
Well, you know, it's my 21st year calling Raptor games, and, you know, it's absolutely insane, you know, the excitement and the enthusiasm. I mean, people are just head over heels about it, and to me, I think it's just been a marvelous development. To see, you know, the growth of the sport. I mean, Canada's got is number two in the world right now in terms of representation of players in the NBA behind the United States. And I think a moment like this only does positive things for the growth of the sport long term here. And it's unbelievable. It's really to see where the franchise was and where it is now. I mean, the first game I ever did was Vince Carter's first game as a Raptor. You know, Vince is still playing, and but it's just nice to see how the game has grown and just the, you know, the quality of team the Raptors have had, not only this year but the last 6 years making the playoffs. And so to me, it's a culmination of all that effort that's happened over the last 6 years. This thing has been building and building. And thank goodness that guy LeBron plays in L.A. now.
I'm the best player in the world.
Hey, Jack, let me ask you, what's your impressions of the job that Nurse has done, head coach Nurse has done, you know, with Toronto as the head man? It's very impressive, man. Break it down for us. What do you think?
Well, I think he's done an awesome job. You know, the previous coach that was here, Dwayne Casey, was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Laid a great foundation, turned this thing around, and deserves an incredible amount of credit. And then Nick has picked up right where Dwayne left off and built on it in terms of, I'm really impressed, with the fact that they had a bunch of injuries this year. It kind of had a lot of things to work through, constantly changing roster. Kawhi Leonard, obviously, on the load management program and guys in and out of the lineup. And then they trade for Marcus Gasol at the trade deadline. And you kind of have to incorporate a lot of different pieces on the fly. And then you're down 0-1 Orlando, down 1-2 to Philly, down 0-2 to Milwaukee. And each time you find a way to come back. And I think that's the ability to move the chess pieces both game to game and, more importantly, within game. And I think he's done a marvelous job with that. And, you know, he's a calm guy. He's very confident. He was with the Raptors the previous 5 years as the assistant for Dwayne Casey. And prior to that, though, he was a very successful head coach both in the G League and overseas. So I think he's got a head coaching persona. And I've been a college head coach before and been around a lot of outstanding coaches in both at the NCAA level and at the pro level. And Nick has it. He has stage presence. He can walk in a room. And he knows how to present himself and carry himself and inspire and lead and motivate and get guys all on the same page. And to me, you know, he came in, his reputation in the NBA was as kind of an offensive savant as an assistant. But to me, the thing that stands out is the fact that the Raptors have been so good defensively in the playoffs. And I think it shows once again that Nick is just a versatile guy, can coach all phases of the game, which is what a head coach is supposed to be able to do.
Yeah, so supposed to be able to do that. And the adjustments to play that point, Jack, the adjustments that they made defensively, especially after game two of that Milwaukee series, I mean, were fantastic. I mean, because we can all extol the virtues of Van Fleet and Powell and certainly Kawhi and how well, you know, banged up Lowry played with that hand injury, the finger injury. But, I mean, their defensive intensity, possession in, possession out, fourth quarter, game six. I mean, end of the third quarter, fourth quarter, game six, Saturday night. I mean, that defense was stifling.
You know, you used a good term, which I love, and that is possession by possession. I talk all the time about, you know, what is the quality of your play per possession? Because literally when you play really good teams, it's station to station, A to B, B to C, C to D, and one impacts maybe the next 3 to 4 possessions. And to me, I think the ability to live in the moment and play in the moment per play is a quality that when you watch bad teams or when you watch young teams, they can't do it. They can't sustain. And I think to me, when you become really good, it's that ability to sustain per play and stay focused within that 24-second cycle that is the NBA life, whether you're on offense or defense, and be able to effectively do things. And then whatever happens on that one, there's so many of these possessions, you got to move to the next one quickly and not have breakdowns. And to me, I think the Raptors defensively really were dialed in to what had to be done to stop Orlando, to stop Philadelphia, to stop Milwaukee, and to make the adjustments within the series or within a game, you know, guarding a Joel Embiid or Vucevic or Giannis or Chris Middleton, whoever it is who they've placed along the road here in the playoffs, and figure things out. And, you know, obviously it's helpful when you have a great player in Kawhi Leonard defensively, who's been a defensive player of the year and all defense a number of times. Marcus Gasol has been a defensive player of the year and all defense. Danny Green. These are all pros. They get it. These guys totally know what's going on. Kyle Lowry's been a tremendous player in his professional career, and he's been a great player with the Raptors. And Pascal Siakam can guard any guy on the court. He's that athletic and that versatile. He's kind of has a little bit of Dennis Rodman in him in that regard of his size, his athleticism, and lateral quickness are excellent. And then you got gritty, tough guys like Fred VanVleet and Norm Powell off the bench, and a guy like Serge Ibaka. You know, if you remember back to his time in Oklahoma City, he was a big-time shot blocker and still is a defensive force when he's able to get some minutes under his belt.
You listen to Taz and the Moose. Our special guest is Jack Armstrong, analyst for the Toronto Raptors TV network. So, hey, Jack, one more thing on Kawhi. I want to ask you, have guys in the locker room, like, how have they tuned out all the Kawhi offseason questions?
You know, I think they don't even worry about it. I mean, you know, this is pro sports. These are independent contractors that all have their own thing going on. You know, so as much as fans worry about this stuff, I think guys worry about their own deal. And you know, because they're all relatively speaking, you got 15 millionaires walking into the room,
right? Of course,
and they got their own thing going. So hey, that's cool. You know, whatever Kawhi's got going. You know, Danny Green's got stuff going, and Kyle Lowry's got stuff going, and Marcus Gasol's got. So these guys worry about, hey, man, when you get in the room, they worry about the team. They worry about playing together, and they don't worry about the noise. I honestly believe that. I don't think they have given it any thought whatsoever. And to me, I don't give it a lot of thought. I care about, you know, how they're going to perform
right now
on a nightly
right
basis.
Now. Yeah,
and I feel very confident. When the chips will fall where they may. And I feel really good about the ability for Masai Ujiri, the president, and Bobby Webster, the GM, and Larry Tannenbaum, the chairman of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, and his group of owners, when they sit down with Kawhi and his people when this season ends, and whatever may happen, it might be an NBA championship, they might come up a little short, who knows what will happen. But the reality is, I think they have themselves in a tremendous position to do a great sales job on what they feel the future is for Kawhi Leonard if he decides to stay in Toronto. And at the same time, they're also very respectful of the fact, because it's collectively bargained between the NBA and the players, that Kawhi is an independent contractor, as a free agent, has the right to choose where he wants to go. And we're all big boys here, and they'll work it out. So to me, I think that's something that For anyone to say they know what he's going to do, I think they're completely full of it. I think it just comes down to the fact that let's enjoy the moment. Let's enjoy what's going on right now. Let's celebrate the sport and not worry about all that the sideshows that are, quite frankly, nonsensical. And I think it's the same thing with a lot of the free agents around the league. And there's too much drama and not enough focus on what really matters, and that's the joy of watching the games.
You know, Jack, when Doc Rivers said in reference to Kawhi, the closest that he's seen to Jordan, when you watch Kawhi play, as you do, on a night-in, night-out basis, do you think what Doc Rivers had to say about Kawhi is true, that he is the closest to Jordan that we've seen?
Well, first of all, we've on a regular basis had someone from the LA Clippers at our games. It's like college recruiting. You mentioned Kawhi. So whether Doc Rivers feels that way or not, he's going to say that because the Clippers are one of the main teams they're going to try to bid for Kawhi's services. I used to be a college basketball coach, so I know.
Yeah, Niagara, former Division I New York Coach of the Year in 92-93 in Niagara.
Yeah, I paid a lot of people off. But, needless to say, so whether Doc believes that or not, he's going to say it. But I love Doc, and I honestly believe I said it in Game 5. I did the game on TV in Milwaukee in Game 5 where Kawhi had 15 points in the fourth quarter. He had 9 assists in the game. And I walked out of the building. I was just stunned in a positive way. I was like, man, I just watched a Jordan-esque performance here in the fourth quarter. The thing I love about Kawhi is he doesn't take plays off. I mean, from the first day of training camp in Vancouver in the fall, and I'm sitting watching him in practice, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, this guy's the real deal. And I'm saying to myself, why is the real deal? Because he actually pays attention and listens to the coaches. He's coachable. He's respectful of his teammates. He goes hard in every drill. I mean, the guy gets after it. You know, a lot of our great offensive players in the league are tremendous, but they take plays off on the other end to conserve energy. Kawhi Leonard doesn't do that. The dude plays hard every single play, and he gives it to you. And that's hard to do. Can you consider the fact that you look at the defenses, Orlando, Philadelphia and Milwaukee through at Toronto, a lot of times Kawhi Leonard was seeing 2 to 3 bodies per trip down offensively. That's hard. You know, that's wearing. And yet he's going down the other end and he's hooping, man. He's guarding people. He's rebounding. He's fighting through screens. He's talking. He's leading by example. And in an era where there's so much, sizzle and style, Kawhi is a real refreshing guy because it's all about substance. He lets his game do the talking, and he talks every play because he never, ever takes a play off.
Yeah, Moose and I were talking earlier a lot about that with Kawhi. He's all business, and there's no drama involved, nothing. He's just all business. He don't play games. So let me ask you, Jack, what's helped Lowry, get past his kind of early postseason struggles because he's playing last couple of games, been really playing awesome. I mean, early on, he kind of in the postseason a little bit, not too good, and then he got past it. In your opinion, what was it? Was there one moment, or just over time in the postseason? What's your thoughts on it?
He's one of the great competitors I've ever been around. I think if Kyle played football or baseball, hockey, golf, whatever it is, he's going to rip your heart out. That's what I love about him. You can ask Jay Wright at Villanova. You can ask every coach who's had him in the NBA. And he's a strong-willed guy. But he just lays it out there. And in an era where there's so much analytics and people try to quantify everything, there's a lot of elements of Lowry's game that you just can't necessarily quantify. The guy takes charges, best in the NBA in the playoffs, and deflections and steals and rebounds and his ability and willingness to guard the post. He loves it when a 6'10" guy tries posting him up. I mean, he goes to war on those possessions with these guys, and he loves the battles. And he's just a great, great competitor, and he's fearless. He's willing to live with the shot, live with the miss. When he gets going downhill with a full head of steam, attacking the rim, He's just marvelous to watch. He's flying, he's throwing his body all over the place. I mean, you know, watching him take charges on Joel Embiid, you know, good luck doing that, you know, really. But he's willing to do whatever it takes to win. And I think guys fall into line watching him play because, you know, he's another guy that leads by example. I mean, he's very vocal, but his, you know, the willingness to pay the price is off the charts. And you know what, too? It's legacy now. I was thinking of going into Game 6 the other night about him and Marc Gasol particularly. You know, the one thing that they don't have, and they've had excellent careers, is that opportunity to go to the finals. I mean, you think of Marc, his brother Powell, championships with the Lakers, and, you know, and Kyle never getting there. You know, you get to a point where you're 34 like Gasol or 33 like Lowry. This might be the last time you ever get there. I always reflect on what, you know, Dan Marino said when he went to the Super Bowl after his first year with the Dolphins. You know, he just thought it was going to happen every year and never got back, you know. So I think your basketball mortality is staring you in the face at moments like that. And I'm so impressed by not only what Gasol's done, by what Lowry's done to help this team get over the hump. And, you know, sometimes people get caught up, you know, like playing the Sixers in particular. You know, they win the beauty contest. They have all the big names and the hype and guys drafted in the top five. You look at this Raptor roster, they don't have that. They just have ballers. They have guys who have gotten better as professional players. And to me, particularly veteran players that are mature, when I think of the Raptors, they're kind of like a college team with a lot of seniors and juniors and upperclassmen that, you know, it's the old line as a coach. When you coach a team with character, that character coaches the team itself.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of guys with high character.
No, that's a great line. Jack, final one here. Biggest reason, you know, for those that are downplaying the Raptors' chances, why do you think, what's the biggest reason Toronto is going to win this series from your perspective?
A few things. Number one, they beat the Warriors twice this year. They're 2-0 against them. And if you look at the last few years, if you watch the games, and I've seen all of them in person, the games between these two teams have been wildly entertaining and really, really good. Now, Warriors got the best of the Raptors a little bit those few years, but to me, when I watch these two teams match up, I mean, the games have been really good. And I think there's tremendous respect that both teams have for each other, and yet I don't think there's any fear that either has for the other. So I think these two teams are going to be in the center of the ring throwing haymakers, and I'm sure it'll be a series of runs a little bit. The Raptors, you know, defense will be challenged. It's been great this postseason. I think the pace of play that the Warriors play with, and obviously perimeter defense is going to be huge with Clay and Steph, and, you know, Draymond's playing at a great level right now. We'll see what happens with KD and Cousins and all that as we go along. But, you know, I think the Raptors feel like they're in a good place defensively. And offensively, can they just play with consistency? The last few games they played against Milwaukee, you know, obviously the number one ranked offense in the league and the number one ranked defense in the league, you know, they did some really good things. And if you can continue to, you know, I guess I use the golf terminology. You got to make your putts. You're playing against scratch golfers. You know, and they're not giving you putts. So, you know, when Klay Thompson and Steph Curry get those open shots, they're draining their putts. So if you're a Danny Green or a Fred VanVleet or, you know, Norm Powell, Kyle Lowry, you got to make your putts. You got to keep up. And I think the longer you can just control runs and stay solid, you give yourself a tremendous chance.
Hey, Jack, we certainly appreciate it. Enjoy the series. It's going to be a fun one as it gets going tomorrow night. And thanks for the time this morning.
Jack, thanks, man. Thank you.
You got it, guys. My pleasure.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.